Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message.
I'm in a series right now called Worthy. And I'm going to give you the title up front. One and Only. One and Only is Worthy. One and Only is Worthy. I'm spending some time in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and it brings everything together. The book of Revelation speaks of the past, the present, and the future. It's all there. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus. The writers, John, he could be the beloved or a follower of Jesus with the prophetic insight and gift, but his name is John. In chapter 4, we talked about this last week, that he witnessed the elders worshiping and the four living creatures worshiping around the throne. And they cast their crowns, and we talked about that last week. And this week, I want to talk about chapter 5. I want to read chapter 5, the entire chapter. And when I was reading this all week, some things really stood out to me. And I believe that there was a progression there. And I don't try too hard when it comes to scripture. I don't try to read into it what's not there or miss what is there. I don't try to be profound and deep for the sake of sounding articulate or trying to impress someone. When I read the scripture, I want the Holy Spirit to help me see what's there, to speak to us. And I've never taught or preached on this chapter before, so this is fun and new to me. But it's unfamiliar. And so John, he's caught up in a vision. He's actually in heaven. And here's what he witnesses. Revelation chapter 5, 1 through 4. After seeing the elders cast their crown, the four living creatures worship, here's what he sees. I want you to read this with me because there's some things that are going to unfold that I believe is going to really speak to you. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Now, a scroll, typically there's not writing on both sides. A scroll has writings on the inside, and it's on papyrus is what the materials use for a scroll. Can you get that mental picture in your mind? A scroll. It's got seven seals. Well, this one has writing on both sides. In the Jewish culture, to have writing on both sides means that it's an official document. That it's not just poetry. It's not just something written. It's not just history. It's an actual legal, official document that is sealed. And I got my transcripts from college, and they're sealed. And basically, if I ever want to go get my master's, I have two transcripts that are sealed. So I'm not to open them, because if I open them, they're not official anymore, right? Well, this scroll has writings on the inside and writings on the outside. So because it's an official document in the Jewish culture, it would be common for them to write the value on the outside and the legal ramifications or details of the contract on the inside. So you have the value on the outside, what it cost, and then you have all the details and the articles and, you know, the do's and don'ts, the agreement on the inside. So John sees on the throne God holding the scroll. And I want you to see the scroll as a form of title deed, like the earth's title deed, and the right to rule and reign in the earth. And in the Jewish culture, or even now in America, if you default on your loan, the bank will take it back, right? But the loan or the property has a value on it. I want you to know that the earth and you and I have a value on us. And Adam and Eve were given keys to the kingdom. They were given, I want you to follow me. Adam and Eve, they received the right to rule and reign in the earth. And they defaulted on that. They transferred their right to the devil. And so they lost their legal rights to rule and reign the earth. That's why the devil is called the God of this age. That's why he's called the Prince of the Air. Okay, that's why he's called the Father of Lies, is because he has children. Okay, so the devil now has the right because we've given that authority to him. And so God has the scroll, the title deed of earth, in his hand, and there's seven seals on it, and the seven seals represent God's judgments against injustice, against evil. There are seven specific things to deal with the devil or the devil's works or those that follow him as well. Okay, so he sees the scroll and God is holding it in his right hand. So verse 2, and I saw, and get this picture in your mind, I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice. What does a mighty angel look like? Okay. Proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? Verse 3. But no one in heaven, think about that. No one in heaven, none of the angels, none of the elders, none of the seraphim, none of that. None of the creatures, none of the divine beings in heaven or on earth, no one in earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. On the outside is the value, the redemptive value, and on the inside is the constitutional rights. It's that's on the inside. So verse 4, this is what John did. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. The first thing I see here is weeping. I have three progressions here. The first one is weeping. I'm not a negative person. I don't wake up and think the world is horrible. You know, I'm trapped on this planet. I don't wake up thinking gloom and doom. I'm a pretty positive person. I love the bliss of life. I love enjoying myself a good meal, chips and salsa. I like going out to eat. I like laughing. I like a good movie, good music. Oh my goodness. I love friendship and community. I like buying things every now and then. I like a clean car, a clean house. So many things that I like. I love being with my family. I like traveling. Too bad we haven't been able to do much of that lately. I love traveling. But if I truly think about something that's injustice, if I just take a moment and think of all the evil that prevails in the earth, I get bothered. Let me ask you a question. What bothers you? What bothers you? John is looking, and inside the scroll, it's sealed. When it's open, it releases the justice of God against evil. And it begins to eradicate it from the earth. And it begins to deal with the evildoers. It begins to deal with punishing those that are basically causing people to live in pain, death, and all those things. And so he begins to weep because there's no one worthy to open the scroll. I want you to think about what bothers you. Let me tell you some things that bother me. It bothers me when a son or a daughter or a child is abandoned and no one is there to adopt a child. That bothers me when there's no parent. It bothers me when a family splits apart. It bothers me, it hurts me, and it irks me when a man is unfaithful. I'm telling you, when a woman or a child is victimized by a predator, it hurts me to think that someone would be kidnapped and taken for a selfish purpose. Perversion, it kills me. It bothers me that God's beautiful creation is diverted and perverted. It bothers me that there's human trafficking. It bothers me that there are homeless people. It bothers me that there are people that are dying of starvation. It bothers me racism, no tolerance for it. I hate racism. I can't stand when some person thinks he's better than another and we all bleed the same color of blood. What bothers you? Death bothers me. It bothers me. I can't tell you how many hospice rooms I've been in and I've seen a loved one breathing their last breath, and I see loved ones crying and hoping that I would pray the perfect prayer to bring about resurrection or healing or miracle, and it doesn't happen. That bothers me. It bothers me when people die of accidents or difficult diseases, and that bothers me. It bothers me. It hurts me. What bothers you? Someone's enslaved? That bothers me. See, if you think about, John is looking at the scroll that is the key, the scroll that is the solution. He's looking at the scroll that if this is broken and open, then there's going to be healing. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be salvation. If this is broken, it's going to bless us. But he sees that no one is worthy, so he weeps. He weeps. He weeps. He weeps. Weeping. I have noticed a lot of weeping in this season. Last year, a lot of weeping, a lot of crying for different reasons. And that, you know, there's the joyful weeping. Hardly ever happens. But there's that joyful weeping that you're just like, I'm crying, but I'm so happy. And then there's the, I'm hurt, I'm worried, I'm crying because I'm losing control. I'm crying because a family member is addicted to a substance and they can't break away and it's destroying them and it breaks me because I can't do anything about it. I feel hopeless. I'm crying because my daughter is dating a person that's leading her astray and I can't do anything. I'm losing grips. Not my daughter. I'm just saying, Michael's dating somebody? No. No. I'm weeping because this person that I love so much is losing their mind. Dementia. I'm losing them. I'm weeping and I'm crying because this person, they're depressed. I'm weeping because of the suffering all around me. You see, there's a season of weeping that's necessary, and John is actually interceding. He's weeping because of all the evil that's happened in the earth. Maybe John experienced some persecution in his life. Maybe one of his loved ones was incarcerated, executed. Who knows what happened in John's life? Maybe his own family was split apart. Maybe he witnessed some of the massacre. I don't know. When Jesus came into the earth, unfortunately, babies were massacred because Herod was trying to get to Jesus. What did he witness that made him weep, weep, and weep? Seems like the enemy's winning. I'm weeping. Seems like the devil is being glorified in my life, in my marriage. I'm weeping. It seems like God is nowhere to be found. I'm weeping. See, that's a progression. That's exactly what he was doing. He was weeping. He was interceding. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're not. Maybe you need to be. Maybe you need to be. I believe God is calling us to weep. I think that's what happened right now. I was just weeping because I'm like, God is pleased with worship. God needs to be, and he doesn't need to be worshiped, but we need to worship him. Weeping. So he says, there's no one found worthy in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that can open the scroll. And then the second progression that happens is watching. So from weeping to watching. Look at Revelations, continuing to read verse 5 through 7. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. He says, you've weeped long enough. You've been crying. You've been sad. You've been mourning. You've been grieving. But the Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So he says, stop weeping. Enough interceding. Enough crying. Enough being sad and depressed. Enough of focusing on the problem. Enough of that. Now see, he says. He says, see, open your eyes, watch. From weeping to watching. He says, see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb. So the lion, get that picture of a lion. What does a lion look like? Fierce. The lion represents power, fierceness, and victory, and majesty. That's what a lion represents. But then he sees a lamb. I saw a lamb. Looking as if it had been slain. Get that picture in mind. This lamb was bruised, was scarred, was bleeding. Standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures we talked about last week and the elders, the Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So he starts watching, and what does he see? He sees the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Have you ever heard of that term, the Lion of the tribe of Judah? What does that mean? Well, see, the nation of Israel is made up of 12 tribes. And the nation of Israel was birthed out of Abraham's son named Jacob. Jacob's name was later turned to Israel, and he had 12 sons. And the 12 sons became each a tribe. Every tribe, one of the sons, and they were collectively the 12, were the nation of God. So one of the tribes was Judah. So Jacob is blessing all of his sons, all 12 of them. And when he gets to Judah, here's what he says about Judah. Okay? One of his sons. We'll find this in Genesis 49, 8 through 10. This is the prophetic word from Jacob, his father, to Judah. He says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down like a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? 10. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. This is talking about Jesus. He says, Judah, in your blood, through your tribe, will come King David, will come Solomon, and every king in the nation of Israel. But most importantly, through your blood, through Mary and Joseph, the bloodline that Jesus was to come into, though Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, he says, will come the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lion, when you see a flag and a banner, the banner of Judah was a lion. And when they saw that lion, they knew this is the tribe of Judah. The most powerful tribe within the nation of Israel is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And then so the revelation is this: Jesus is the symbol. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one with power, majesty, fierceness, boldness, the one who is to rule and reign forever and ever. Isaiah 11:10 says this: in that day, the root of Jesse, meaning the father of David, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. How many of you need rest? What banner are you holding? Is it the banner of defeat? Is it the banner of worry and stress? Is it the banner of fear? Is it the banner of death? Is it the banner of excuses? Is it the banner of pride? Or is it the banner of the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. And the lamb had, get this picture, this lamb had seven horns. Unique. Seven horns. Horns is a symbol of power. I want you to say, God is all powerful. I want you to say, Jesus is all powerful. Seven is perfect. The number of perfection, the number of completion. There were seven horns in this lamb, because he is all powerful. Then you see that he has seven eyes. Seven eyes. I want you to say, Jesus is all knowing. He's omniscient. He is all-knowing. He sees everything. And the last thing you'll see is the seven spirits of God. Now, there are not seven Holy Spirits, by the way. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one God. But there is a sevenfold Spirit of God. And understand that the Holy Spirit, here's what it says about the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Spirit of God. It says that the Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, and there are seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Where is it sent out to? All the earth. The Holy Spirit is with us, among us, in us, and through us. The sevenfold Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. I want you to say, Jesus is ever present. He is always here. He is omnipresent. What are the seven spirits of God? I want you to say this, the Spirit of the Lord. Now the scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, what is there? I want you to say that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. How many of you need that? See, he begins to see the Lord. And he sees the sevenfold Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. I need that. And then there's the Spirit of wisdom. How many of you need wisdom for daily living, to make decisions for what is profitable, for what is not? The Spirit of wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of understanding. He wants you to comprehend. He wants you to know, to understand. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of knowledge. He wants you to know him and to make him known. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of us for what? For counsel. That's why community is important. That's why we need to get around two to three people of God so that we can have him in the midst of us, the counsel of God in heaven and on earth. Counsel. There's safety in the multitude of counselors, the Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might. You have a situation that needs the Spirit of might. You need him to overpower whatever it is that's facing you and that you're facing. You need the Spirit of might. I want you to say, the Spirit of might, come. It's the Holy Spirit. And the last is the Spirit, is the fear of the Lord. You see, he sees all this. See, he's weeping. Now he's watching. Now he sees the Lamb. Seven horns, seven eyes, the sevenfold Spirit of God. And he's worthy. He's the only one worthy, the one and only one worthy to open the scroll. You see, I want you to know something that's super powerful. It's only he could redeem you. That's why we say the phrase, only you are worthy of me. That the redemptive price on the scroll, it was him. It was himself. Is this is what it takes to redeem mankind. It takes the blood of the perfect Lamb, and Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So if you go from weeping to watching, and what are you watching? You're watching the cross. You're seeing in your mind, you're fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. For the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. You see him, you see Jesus. You see him past your problems, past all your sicknesses and all your diseases and all death and anything on the earth. You slip into eternity in your worship and your praise. You start seeing Jesus. Only he could redeem me. Only he is worthy, one and only. You start watching, you open your eyes. What are you seeing? What do you see when you close your eyes? What do you see when no one is around? What do you see when you lay yourself down to rest? What do you see? Do you see him? And if you don't, it's because the enemy is hijacking your imagination. He's hijacking your thoughts. He's trying to rob you of the ability to see Jesus. So now there's a progression here. Now the third thing that we see is weeping, watching, worshiping. Revelation 5, 8 through 14. And when he had taken it, see, Jesus took the scroll. When he had taken it, The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They fell before a Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Each elder had a harp. When you get to heaven, the first thing that they're going to give you is an instrument. Here. Here's an instrument. Here's a harp. Here's a guitar. Here's a violin. Here's a trumpet. Here's a percussion instrument. Here it is. These 24 elders and the four living creatures, they had harps and they had a bowl, golden bowl of incense, which are the prayers of the people of God. God hears every prayer, and every prayer is sacred. It's protected in a gold bowl, and it's collected. It's collected by God Himself and those around Him, and the prayers, they fill the bowl. Nothing is ever wasted. When the enemy tells you God doesn't hear, God hears and He collects, and they're sacred to Him. And here's what happened in verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God's persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." You see that only one is worthy to redeem us, to bring us back to the rightful place that He designed us to be as kings and priests to rule and reign in the earth. That was His design from the very get-go. So He sees all of this happening. He's watching, and He now witnesses worship. Verses 11 and 12, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. You know how many angels that is? That's 100 million plus angels. Get that in your mind. 100 million angels encircled the throne. 24 elders, the four living creatures around the throne. There's the Lamb with the scroll in the center of the throne. And they're all 20, I'm telling you, 100 million angels in a loud voice. Verse 12, they were saying all together, just get this in your mind, "Worthy is a Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." 100 million angels shouting in unison with everything they have, worshiping and singing this. Verse 13 and 14, this is our part. "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth." Every creature on earth? Even the animals? Every creature? "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." He heard everything. "And under earth and on the sea, and all that is in them," all that is in them, all that is in them, "saying, to Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. You see, back in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, they didn't have remedies that we have today. They didn't have medicine. They didn't have psychiatrists. They didn't have therapists. They didn't have rehab centers. They didn't have hospitals. You know what they had? They had altars. You know what they did? They worshiped. They sacrificed animals. They cried out and said, "What's happening here? There's nothing here that can solve the problems here. We need something from there. We need something supernatural." They worshiped. They worshiped. They needed heaven to invade the earth. They built altars and they worshiped past their problems. They worshiped past the pain. They worshiped past their limitations. They worshiped past their fears. They worshiped past their sicknesses. They worshiped until they got into heaven and they witnessed worship. And so they worshiped with the angels in heaven, yet they were here on earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, it's really difficult right now, but you are worthy of it all. Father, marriage is falling apart, but you are worthy of it all. Father, people are dying of sickness, but you are worthy. Father, the evil seems to be winning on this planet, but the Bible says that you are worthy of it all. There is only one who is worthy. Only one. He is the one and only. I believe God is calling us to worship Him. And worship. You can't worship what you don't see. And what you see is a revelation. I'm not asking you to worship a person in this room that you and I, we're not worshiping music for the sake of music. We're not worshiping people. We're worshiping Jesus. If you get a picture of Him, like what we read right now, your automatic response, your organic, authentic response will be worship. Here's my prayer for you guys, is for our houses to become altars. Not for Netflix, not for TikTok, not for all the games that the kids play, not for the sports and the playoffs, that there would be altars of worship. And I don't believe they are right now. And that's what grieves me. So that is my exhortation to you. I'm going back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm going back to the heart of worship, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. That's all. Make this week about Him. Play some worship. And worship Him past your worries. Worship Him past your limitations. I'm telling you, get a picture of Jesus. Get a picture of Him. Get a picture of Him. Yeah. Thank you for starting that clap. We'll continue it. Would you stand with me and let's sing that phrase with this understanding of what we just read, that He is worthy of it all.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.